What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Huey Show, episode number 2. It is your boy, Huey. And today, you know, we're going to be talking about some good old NBA, some good old NFL. Because, you know, my man Lamar just got paid. You know what I mean? He got that 170 mil guarantee. He got that two, I think right now he's the highest overall paid QB. If you don't include the guaranteed money. And we're also going to be talking about some gaming news. You know what I mean? We're going to be talking about how Sega, I believe, is becoming a union, finally, thankfully. And we got some more fire topics for you guys today. So, to get started, we're going to start off with some good old NBA basketball. You know, Knicks squad, Knicks gang, y'all, you know, means you know exactly what it is. We're in the second round, y'all. Now, fortunately, yesterday we lost to the Miami Heat. I hope Jimmy plays, because like I said, you know, beating a team without their star, you know, the Heat have always been rivals of the Knicks. We've always gone all the way back to the 90s when the Heat were first founded. You know, we faced Alonzo Mourning, faced against D-Wave. D-Wade with and without LeBron, maybe without LeBron, maybe we didn't face against D-Wade, but you know, we are now in the second round. Now, if you look at the previous game, I think I had said in a group chat with my cousins, I said I think Knicks in seven, because if you ask me, the Cavs were a pretty good matchup for the Knicks. Mitchell just didn't show up. I mean, let's be real, you know, that man, I don't know what was going on with him. That wasn't the Jazz Mitchell. That I don't know who that was, but Darius Garland showed up. The opposite showed up compared to what everybody else thought. But we still won, so I will take the dub. You know, my cousin was talking a little crazy. He's talking about Knicks in the finals, even though he wasn't a Knicks fan when he was here. You know, it's crazy. Everybody that moves out of New York becomes a Knicks fan after they move out, because this man went to New Jersey. But that's neither here nor there. I got the Knicks in six. I don't care. Jimmy Butler, the Butler off of Fresh Prince. It don't matter to me. Knicks in six. I understand. You know, we struggled last game. You can even ask what's his face. Quickly didn't show up. Brunson didn't show up really per se. The main stars didn't show up. Randall's hurt, unfortunately. You know, I don't know if he's gonna play game two. I haven't really heard anything. I haven't got anything off ESPN, Twitter. I usually have to check to see, but I have not heard anything. But me personally, something about this man Jimmy Butler, I do not get it. Like when he was showing out against the Bucks, this man becomes just a different player. I always tell people, for me personally, it goes playoff Rondo, playoff Kawhi. And now playoff Jimmy. Because this man just goes stupid every time he gets in the playoffs. I think last year he got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Look, Jimmy's not a three-point shooter. I think he should have taken the two, try to get the steal, foul, and then try to run from there. I don't know what made him take the three. I get it. He wants to go for the win, but that's not his shot. Everybody knows it's not his shot. And I think when the Celtics saw him shoot, because I think they played the Celtics. Yeah, when the Celtics saw him shoot that shot, I think they kind of breathed a sigh of relief. Because, man, If he had taken that to the rack, I think he could have potentially got the and one. The shot clock was wearing down. You know how refs don't like to call things in the last like 10, 15 seconds. Or if it's like a timeout and the team is inbounding, if there's less than like a second, they try not to call a foul because they don't want to dictate the ending of the game. You know how fans are. They'll go crazy and say, it was the ref, it was the ref. But this man, Jimmy, just proceeds to drop a 50-point game, then a 40-point game. It is ridiculous. And I guess whenever he just sees the Bucks, his eyes just light up. Because I think this is the second time knocking Giannis out the playoff. I think he knocked him out in the bubble. And then he knocked him out last year. Now, I'm not too sure if he knocked him out the last year. But all I know is that man was getting buckets. Like, I feel bad because I think Giannis didn't play game two, but to be fair, they was getting cooked in game one too. So it wasn't like as if when Giannis was in, they were, you know, getting buckets or exposing like how it was with the Nets. With the Nets, until Kyrie Irving went out, it looked like the Nets was going to sweep the Bucks. But look, I cannot understand. The Miami Heat is going to be a tough team. because they play hard, heat culture, they play defense. Unless your name is Robinson, that man don't play no defense. I swear I've never seen him do anything off the dribble. I've seen him take one layup and that's it. I mean, but look, I don't know. This playoff has just been so confusing. The team that I thought could have made it all the way, which is the Bucks. I thought it was going to be Bucks versus Celtics, and the Celtics would go to the finals. But the way it's looking now, I don't know what. You know, you got the Grizzlies getting taken out. We're going to talk about them. The Suns are looking shaky. The Clippers got knocked off because Kawhi got hurt, as per Kawhi's standard, unfortunately. You hate to see it, but that's basketball. Shit happens. Hell, that's kind of how he got his ring, with Klay going out. Then, first KD went out with his Achilles, then Klay. And, you know, it sucks, but shit does happen. But it's just so bad because, you know, Paul George, Pandemic P, Playoff P, whichever one you want to call him. You know, I've seen more Pandemic P, but that's neither here nor there. I just think that man struggles when it's time. Like I said, I think he's a good second or third option, but he's not meant to be the number one option. I'm sorry. Indiana Pacers, Paul George could have done something. He could have, you know, maybe he could have been the chosen one. But ever since that leg injury, and I'm not blaming it on that. But, you know, if you think about it, if he's running down the fast break, he might hesitate to go full speed because he doesn't want to destroy his ankle. And can you blame him? Hell no. I wouldn't want to go full speed into anything. But, you know, basketball, I think not just basketball, but any sport, if you hesitate, it's only going to be worse for you. I think we've all seen it, whether it be hockey, football, basketball, tennis, baseball, no matter what, if you hesitate, that moment of hesitation can either win you or lose you the game, can make you injured or not injured in a game. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that's going to go to at least 6 games. I hope not 7, because if it goes to 7, that man Jimmy's been showing out. I don't know, but like I said, Knicks in 6, doesn't matter, Knicks in 6, Knicks fan here. I'm calling it. But if you ask me who I got in the finals, personally, I think it's going to be Celtics versus Nuggets. It pains my heart to say Boston, but that squad, the two J's right now, you know, they came into a little inconsistent, but so did the Nuggets. So in the playoffs versus regular seasons, two different breeds of games. I mean, if you watch enough playoff basketball versus regular season basketball, you can tell that certain teams that might not show out in the regular season, or for some reason, especially recently since the play-in tournament, show out once they get into the playoffs. That's just how it's been, especially this year. Because you got, like I said, the Lakers, the Heat, ATL, I think, out. The Timberwolves are out. But there's just been a lot of teams that a lot of people thought would just flake off that came out and is showing out. But we are going to discuss them. Now, what I want to talk about right now, though, is the Sixers. We're going to get to the Nuggets and the Suns and the Warriors versus Lakers. We're going to get to all that, but I want to discuss this right now. Embiid has to be one of the most unluckiest cats that I've ever seen when it comes down to these injuries. I mean, you know, last year, you know, he got his face pretty much broken. The year before that, I don't think he was feeling too well. I think he was playing through hurt, too. When Kawhi beat him, he was playing hurt, too. It's just, no matter what he does, because of his height, I think that's really what it is. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it seems like the taller they are, the more frequently they get hurt when it comes down to playoff situations, because it's more rough. It's not as light as compared. I'm not calling the regular season light, but it's not as taxing physically compared to once you get into that playoffs, because they're not calling the same fouls like they used to. And you see Embiid falling all over the place, falling on the ground, flopping. Now, everybody flops in the league. That's just how you get fouls sometimes, because the refs might not call it if you don't exaggerate. But every single time you think he's about to go off, he's about to take off. And last year, I think he just got the MVP. But he gets hurt at the most inopportune time. And I think that's why Harden's about to leave. Because every team he's been on, his co-star or someone who's supposed to be bowling with him, dropping 30 points with him, something has gone awry. Something has fucked up their whole season. And it's like, you guys have to get it together. I mean, injuries are unlucky. But the fact that James Harden isn't really playing like Houston James Harden. Right now, I'm watching the Boston versus Philly. And, you know, it doesn't feel like they're going to win this game. It's 62-58, and I'm watching it right now. It just doesn't feel like it. And if they had Embiid, I would have their hopes way higher. Because you got Embiid, who's a guaranteed bucket when it comes down to getting into the lane, getting a rebound, getting a block. And I'm just not feeling it. I don't think they're gonna beat the Celtics. Definitely, I definitely don't think they're gonna beat the Celtics. Like I said, part of me kind of wish the Knicks had them, because if the Knicks had them with an injured Embiid, we might have been able to really, really cook. And I think, you know, like I said, I think we'd have a better option. But I think we still face Boston. We would still face Boston without a doubt. But it's just, it's like, who is it? It's like the weak ass Cowgirls. I'm a Giants fan, so you know it's beef on site, Philly and Dallas. But it's something about them, no matter what they do, they are just always going to get hurt. Always, something's always going to go wrong. They're always going to get beat. Think about it like this. Kawhi beat them with still one of the craziest buzzer beater wins in a playoff game 7, I think we have seen in a very, very long time. And it is just crazy on to how something always, I think ever since the gentleman era with Moses. Yeah, Moses. Ever since with Moses Malone. Yeah. I was thinking of Karl Malone, but yeah, Moses Malone and Dr. J, they have not been able to even, I think, sniff the finals out. Oh no, I'm lying because AI did his thing. He stole game 1 against the Lakers, but ever since then, they've just been injury after injury, misfortune after misfortune. And it's kind of sad because they've had a few squads that I could have said, hey, they might do something, or hey, they might go somewhere, and they sell. And what I mean, they sell bad. It's that's a bad foul. And what I mean, they sell harshly. So it's like there's just nothing that they seem to do, no matter what pieces they surround Embiid. It's either Embiid or it's the other piece. Like, think about last year, Ben Simmons. Couldn't actually shoot a free throw. That's why they lost to the Hawks, which beat my Knicks, which I was a little bit hurt about, because I thought, I didn't think it was going to be a sweep, but I thought it was going to be 4-2 Knicks. And yeah, I mean, we end up getting that gentleman sweep. We're not going to talk about that. We're in the second round. ATL's at home. Yeah, I mean, but also, shout out to a certain Dallas Mavs fan. You know, I got to bring her up, because every game that we won against the Cavs, I would always send to my friend Kayla, because she's a Dallas Mavericks fan. Like I said, again, I'm going to say it one more time. She's a Dallas Mavericks fan. You know, I always tell her, thank you for Brunson. You know, because when you make the playoffs, and she got her favorite player, and the fact that they didn't make the playoffs ever since they traded Brunson, ever since they let Brunson go, because he didn't get traded, he got let go. But, sorry about that, y'all. Ever since he got let go, they just have not been the same. And because they have not been the same, I mean, think about it. They got Kyrie, so they got all offense. And not a lick of defense. They lost all their defense to get Kyrie Irving. So, once again, shout out to her. You know, we appreciate Brunson. You know, he's definitely led the squad a lot better. I'm an honest man on this microphone. I'm not gonna lie, I was one of the people saying that we might have overpaid for him. We might have, but he's worked out towards us. So, you know, I'm gonna talk that shit. You know, he's definitely been a appreciative piece, because no disrespect, Julius Randle and RJ are not ones and twos. They are not meant to lead your team to that promised land. We need somebody like a Brunson who can kind of get us there, get us going, get us right. Now we just have to get right. And I think we still need one more piece before I can say finals bound. We need one more piece. We're one piece away, because I don't see RJ being that next guy. He balled out, you know, that first half last game, but, you know, that second half, my man disappeared. And then, you know, unfortunately, Butler got his ankles rolled underneath, or he got his ankle kicked and it rolled, which was accidental. That was not on purpose. So I do not want to hear nothing from no fucking Miami Heat fans saying that was dirty. It was not. Josh Hart is not a dirty player. We all know that. But look, the Sixers, they got to find themselves an Iron Man, somebody who does not get hurt. They need somebody who doesn't get hurt. If they can find that person that does not get hurt, they will start moving mountains, they will start making rivers, and then they will create an ecosystem of winning. Look at the Warriors. I mean, they did it the best way possible. They got Curry, then they got Klay. Actually, Curry and Klay might have came out at the same time. But they got Curry, Klay, then they got Draymond, Then they started building stuff around them, and then they started to operate. But first, you know, Curry had to get his ankles right. You know what I mean? But once he got his ankles right, he was great. Greatness. I don't think at this point you can really argue. He's one of the greatest point guards of all time, straight up and down. Some people might still have Magic. Some people might have Stockton, even though that's a little outdated take for me. If you're talking about pure point guards, okay, you got it. But if you're talking about all around, nah. But he's up there. He's definitely up there. So they created a whole ecosystem to help him win. Now, unfortunately, they got rid of why am I forgetting? Jackson? No. I'll tell you right now. Because right now they got Steve Kerr. Let me see. Hold on. Tell you right now. Yeah, I apologize. I'm drawing a blank. Mark Jackson. There you go. Mark Jackson. Now, he laid the foundation. He started getting everything together. But Kerr took it up to a whole nother level. But we're going to talk about the Warriors in a few minutes. But right now, I want to talk about the Nuggets versus Suns. Now, if you had asked me at the start of the season who would I have going, I probably would have either told you the Kings because of that season they had. Now, they were all offense and pretty much no defense, but they stepped up and showed that they can play some defense. But I'm not going to lie, it probably would have been the at the start of the season. Just speaking of start, Kings, Clippers, LA maybe, but that's just because they got LeBron and AD, and that probably would have been it. But now it's looking like, man, listen, I mean, Nuggets would have been a fourth, but now, you know, they came a little cold into the playoffs, and I always like for teams to come in hot into the playoffs, because if you come in hot, you can sweep games, sweep, and then get to the finals and be straight. But now, it could be between the Lakers, Nuggets, and maybe even the Warriors. Like I said, I need to see how, because I just have an issue with the Warriors on when they play away. Now they did beat the Kings, so you do have to give them some credibility for that. They did do that, but outside of that, I mean, I'm just not too certain about them going back to the finals again. I just don't have that same confidence. They are a championship squad, so I would not take that experience, because experience does matter in the playoffs, especially in the playoffs. You need that experience, and that's what they have with Curry, Clay, Draymond, Jordan Poole. Pretty much everybody on that squad has at least had one championship run. But if you got those three right there, you have a championship trio, so you can go anywhere. But I don't know, man. The way Murray's been playing, Josh has been doing his thing. You even have Junior. I think I can't remember his name, but the second I get the podcast, I probably will. You even got him. Oh, Michael Kidd Porter Jr. Or no, it might just be Porter. Michael Kidd Porter. He's been bowling. I mean, it's just been, and they have a good bench. They got a really good, great bench. I'm about to tell you the bench right now. Because I think they even got Uncle on that. Yeah, you got Aaron Gordon. You got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I'm sorry to believe it's true. Whoever plays with LeBron, or at least whoever plays with LeBron on the Lakers, they just never show up the way they do when they go on other squads. Like, when I was listening to Shannon Sharp, he said it's the pressure. And I think that's what it is. You have pressure on you to show out. Because you know how LA is. LA only likes wins. They only like dubs. Because they're always trying to increase the banners. My Knicks have to follow suit. But they're always trying to increase their banners. Look at this bench. This is a great bench, by the way. Michael Porter Jr. Aaron. Well, he doesn't really come off the bench. Aaron Gordon. Christian Braun. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which is balling. Bruce Brown Jr. I think he's a good lot. Reggie Jackson. Thomas Bryant. He was hooping on the Lakers. I don't think they should have got rid of him, but I guess they didn't want to pay him. Uncle Jeff Green, he's been a leaver for a minute. DeAndre Jordan, that man's ate it. But Ish Smith, hell, a lot of people underrate Ish Smith, but if you ever seen that man cross over somebody, that man has to have one of the quickest and sharpest crossovers I think is in the game right now. Because even though he's a journeyman, he can ball. And I mean ball. But that Nugget squad has been hooping. And no disrespect to the Suns, but they ain't got no bench. I don't have no faith. No, listen, Devin Booker's been hooping. KD's been in. Chris Paul is old. I mean, and don't get me started. Listen, I need to take a sip before I say this. Red Bull sponsor me. But DeAndre Ayton, the Suns' biggest mistake was signing that man to a max contract and not letting him go to any squad that wanted him. I do not understand this fucking logic. They did not need him. They could have went to any big and got a fucking better big. Hell, they could have got JaVale fucking McGee to fucking hoop. But now they're fucking stuck with him. No disrespect. The dude's not good. Look, let me not say good. He's average. He might be borderline mediocre. When I saw that man stand outside and saw him let so many rebounds go off and not do nothing, I almost lost my fucking mind. He has no excuse. No excuse to not get back into it, get in between Joker and the ball, and get a fucking rebound. He just watched him rebound the ball 2 or 3 times and then put the fucking ball in. And this is why Joker always gets at least 2 or 3 offensive rebounds per game, because that's kind of what he does. If he misses it, he'll tip it back in. And it gets on my fucking nerves. They paid him all that fucking money. All that money to not do a damn thing. He cannot. Listen, if I'm Chris Paul and Devin Booker, it's because, you know, KD's. Look, no disrespect. KD is not a leader. He's not. You know, he can. Yeah, and that's fine. Not everybody's born to be a leader like LeBron. But when you're the best player, you have to have some kind of voice. Even Curry doesn't speak up all the time. That's Draymond's job. But even Curry will. Hey, we need to get it fucked together. And he does. Me, you know, based upon what I've seen and heard. I could be completely wrong. I'm not in the NBA locker room. But based upon what I have heard, he's not a leader. That's not his thing. All he wants to do is hoop and hoop and hoop. And I get that. But you have to show leadership. And I think that's why some people... He's one of the greatest offensive players at 7-footer with a jump shot that's almost... That's so high in the fucking air, it's almost impossible to block unless you're Russell and you know and you can time it. Because like I said, KD does kind of lean back a little bit. He slightly leans back when he shoots. So if you're behind him, you actually got a better... You're behind him or to the side of him, you got a better chance of blocking it. But he's one of the greatest offensive players the game has ever seen. But without that leadership quality, he can never drag a team that might not be as great into greatness by himself. And that's why I think Devin Booker is supposed to shine out. But I don't have faith in the Suns because of that lack of bench compared to the Nuggets. I just don't have faith in them. I got more faith in the Nuggets right now to go further, and especially into the finals. Because I don't think... Let me hit the Googles. I'm about to tell you right now. Nuggets finals. I don't think they've ever been to the finals, truthfully. Let's see. The Nuggets have never appeared in an NBA Finals. So I think this is their best opportunity. You got Jamal Murray balling, absolutely giving people buckets. This looking like Bubble Murray. Now I think about a lot of the players, if you think about it, that showed up in the bubble are not showing up now because they're all healthy. For a while, a lot of them were not healthy. So now that they're healthy, they're hooping. I mean hooping. Like, I think Jamal Murray is averaging something like 26, 27 points per game in the playoffs right now, or something ridiculous like that. You know, Joker's doing his thing, 20 and 10 and like 7 or something like that. But that might be regular season. Yeah, that might be different now. But look, I got zero faith in them. Like I said, it's not gonna be a sweep. I think they win 2 games. Truth be told, they win 2 games. I think they win 2 games at home. But after that, I don't see them winning. I guess the Nuggets have so much firepower. They have some pretty okay defense. It could be better defense, though. I will say that. But it's better. Hey, I can say this. It's better than the fucking Suns. It is way better than the Suns. Because, look, the fact that KD's goofy 7-foot self is having to play defense way harder than fucking DeAndre Ayton is a fucking problem. And I said this when they signed him to that contract. And when the way you saw him and their coach Monty arguing on the fucking bench, I don't know why they resigned. I don't even think they like being together. But like what happened with Shaq and with Pat Riley, you can win with it as long as it's not your best player. But unfortunately, they need him to show out. And I just don't think he's going to do that. Now, the one I want to talk about. This is probably the one I'm most excited for. I hope this goes to a game 7 because we've been missing this. LeBron James versus Stephen Curry. AD versus Draymond Green, because you know those two are probably going to be mashed up. I think Looney might give AD some problems, not on the offensive end, but just on the offensive boards and the boards in general. Do I think AD's still going to get his 10 boards? I hope so. He's been a little inconsistent. You know, he's been consistent on defensive, but they need him on that offense too. They can't just have it one way. This is supposed to be his team by now, and it's still looking like LeBron's team. I mean, no disrespect. He showed out last game. But let's not act like, what, I think it was 2-4, I think it was. He didn't show out. He didn't show out a few games, and he didn't. And by the way, he didn't show out sometimes in the playoff, in the play-ins. So I need AD to be consistent, but that's going to be one hell of a game. I cannot wait to watch that. I mean, I'm trying to think of the third option I would hope Reeves can hopefully match the input of Clay. I do not expect that. But if he can, that's great. I just want this to go to Game 7. I know the NBA is happy as happy could be. You have Miami and the Knicks, Sixers versus Celtics, Suns versus Nuggets, and you got the Warriors versus Lakers. I'd probably say at least 4 or 5 of those teams are main markets in the NBA, and I know they are blossoming. This is probably what they needed since the 2020 and 2021 series and playoffs, because I think they had numbers lows. They probably have numbers high right now, because I know they are loving this. This is great. This is basketball. This is why I love it. This is why sometimes I tune out off the first half, because really the first half doesn't matter as much as people think. Once you start getting closer and closer to the All-Star break, that's when shit ramps up, because players now start thinking about seeding, who they're playing against, who they might play against, who's the 1, 2, and the 3, who's the 6, 7, and 8, who's the 9 and the 10, because now the 9 and 10 can make it through the play-in, as we saw with the Heat. Like I said, this is what I love. This is what I appreciate about basketball, especially NBA basketball. And I cannot wait to see how this goes. I want this to go to 7. But me personally, if we're speaking about Lakers and the Warriors, I got Lakers at 6. Like I said, their away record still scares me. Hell, it's pretty much my fucking birth. Well, at this point, it might have changed. They might be 12 and I guess what was it? I remember it was 11:30 at the end. So it must be 12 and like or 13. No, I think it's maybe 13 and 32, 33. But, I cannot wait to see that matchup. That crowd is going to be lit. Like, one, I always tell people, one day, I'm going to be at the Garden, or I'm going to be at a game that means something. And I cannot wait to experience MSG at its full, at its loud could be. I cannot wait to see it. I cannot wait to be there. That is probably one of my goals in life, to be at a Madison Square Garden game for the Knicks with good seats. That's just going to be an arm and a leg. I was going to say something, but then if that shit actually happens, motherfucker go pull this clip. That's not going to happen. But take a quick sip. I cannot wait. And I forgot to say my other prediction. So I got Nuggets. I got Nuggets in 6, and I got Celtics in 5. I think the Sixers can pull at least one game. I think they'll win at least one home game, and then be on their way out the door. Without Embiid, and you don't want to play Embiid with a tear in his knee. You don't want to play 7 foot, probably 200-some pounds, running up and down the court, full speed. That's a lot of damage. He could tear his ACL. You do not want that. So me personally, I would just let James Harden go back to the Rockets. I would just rest Embiid. I get you know your window's closing, but you don't want to ruin your future either. I got Celtics in 5, Nuggets in 6, Lakers in 6. But I could see that going to Lakers in 7 though. I definitely could, all day every day. And you know, of course, Knicks in 6, orange and blue forever, baby. Yeah, I mean, I know what time it is. Hopefully Brunson can show out. Brunson can do his job. IQ can show out. Obi Toppin can get us 20. All I want from Obi is 15 to 20 points. That's it. That's all I want from him. RJ can hopefully give us 15, 20 points too with some good defense. I don't need him dropping 30, 35. I think he had 15, 16 points in that second half, and then he just flaked off. Then of course, the Heat came back after Jimmy rolled his ankle, which I find weird, but it happens. But, yeah, y'all. Let's move on. Okay, y'all. So, the NFL, the good old NFL. So, if you have been keeping up with it, right? I'm going to start off with this first, the Giants. So, my Giants picked, I believe, a cornerback. We picked somebody for the offensive line, and I think we picked a wide receiver in the first round. Now, mind you, I'm not really a good NFL draft guy. I cannot stand watching that shit. That shit is boring. I can only watch the NBA draft because it's really only like two rounds. I mean, the NFL draft is just so long, and I'm not really a football guy per se. I like watching it. I enjoy my Giants. I keep with my Giants. But outside of that, nah, I generally have a tendency to keep it moving. I do not care per se. I'll see you on the field. If I think you've performed up to your draft pick, then that's cool. If you overperform, underperform, I'm going to say it. So that's why you're not really going to hear me talk about the NFL draft like that. I do know who they drafted. I did look them up a little bit. I saw that we got all A's. Now we just got to see how they perform on the field. Whether or not they're a bust or not, time will only tell. But, hold on, let me take a quick sip. But, the main thing that's been discussed right now, you know, you got Rodgers going to the Jets, which I was trash talking a Packers fan because they lost, what's his face, to the same exact team, to the same exact way through a fucking trade, which is fucking ironic. But, look, Rodgers, if Rodgers doesn't at least take out to the Super Bowl, this is a bad season. For Jets fans, no disrespect, Jets fans, and I know that there's a few of them that are going to watch this, but if he does not take you to the Super Bowl, this is a failure, because he has discussed multiple times about wanting to take them to the, about wanting to retire. Think about it, he said even during that show that he was on, I forget the name of the show, it's on, what is this, CBS, I think it is? The Pat McAfee show, that's what it is. He said even on there that he was thinking about retiring. So if this man decides to retire after only playing 1 year, because you know how New York media is, they don't play that shit. They really gonna go down. If he thought Milwaukee was a little rough around the waist, think about how bad New York is gonna be. They want a championship and they gave up a lot of things. Well, let me not say a lot of things. They gave up a pretty good haul. People say that the Packers guys got us shafted on it. I don't know. Like I said, I'm more of an NBA guy, so I know when you get shafted on an NBA trade. But listen, that man, if he does not bring you guys to being what Broadway Namath was, if he don't bring you to that, yeah, you guys blew it. You guys can't complain about having probably the best defense in the league and now no longer having any offense. Now you got some offense. So now this is the time for y'all to take it all the way. You have no excuse. No excuses. My Giants, I don't really expect this to really go too far. I hope we make the playoffs, and I hope it's not another wild card. I just hope we make the playoffs, and I hope we can reach the second round so that we can show that we're kind of moving mountains, we're building the right way. But the Jets, you guys have to show out, because if not, I don't see that man. I don't see him re-signing another contract. He's 42. You guys picked him up at 40 fucking two. I think he might. Hold on. He might be in his. He might have just hit 40. Now, Rodgers. Brady was an anomaly. Only he could win a title at 42, 43. But Rodgers, he doesn't have that same capability. I'm not seeing it. I don't. Let me see how old Rodgers is. Let me see. Yeah, right. 39. So that means he's going to be 40. You got a 40-year-old playing football. And I'm trying to think. What? Who's? Because that might be a tight division. Jets division. That might be a tight division. Never mind. Oh, you guys got the Bills? Man, the Bills is winning that division. At least you guys can knock out the Dolphins and the Patriots, but the Bills run that division, so I don't see y'all beating the Bills. But if you guys do not beat the Bills and he does not come back for at least one more season, and I really don't understand what made them go with this. I mean, to that same team that got look. I get it. You know, Brett Favre, you know, You know, he kind of went out the same way, and you guys repeated history again. I guess that age-old quote, history does repeat itself if you let it, and they kind of let it repeat itself. The dude wanted to be out the city, same way as Brett Favre. He said, I want to be traded to here. They gave in to his trade demands. Of course, you know, now I'm not trying to say Rodgers is a loser. He's not. He does have one Super Bowl ring. But Brett Favre did the same thing. Literally, they did the same thing. They gave in to his demands every single time. Every time he threatened retirement. I guarantee you, if they don't at least make the playoffs, you hear, I'm thinking about Green Bay, or oh, I want to go back to Green Bay. Because a lot of people forget, Brett Favre was doing that shit too. He was talking all that shit, and then proceeded to leave. I mean, because I think he played not with the Ravens, with the Vikings, I think, but just before he retired. But I don't understand. Look, are the Packers a great franchise? Yes, they're one of the oldest franchises, I think. But you guys just let QBs run shit. And do QBs run shit? Absolutely. QBs has to be one of the hardest positions in the league. You need a good QB to go anywhere. But some of this stuff is having me question the FO. Because you got people like Rodgers who are bitch slapping the shit out of their front offices. And then you got people like Lamar, which we will talk about, who's having to fight and wait for other QBs to get signed so he can make his argument, well, he got signed for this, down the third, why can't I get that? And will he be another Deshaun Watson? Absolutely not. Nobody's going to get that $225 guaranteed million. I don't see that, which is why Lamar only got 180. But, ooh, Maxie's hurt. Maxie is hurt. And he rolled his ankle. Uh-oh. It's looking like a sweep. They better not bring Embiid back. But, and now Harden's hurt? Oh, that might have been a flop. You might be all right. That might be frustration. Because if Maxie got out, this would be like Harden's like second or third time being on that squad that just gets injured. Injury prone. Yeah, man. Oh. Let me see this again. Oh, he got smacked in his face. I want to see that Maxie injury. It looked like he either bumped knees or rolled his ankle. Oh, yeah, he bumped knees. Bumped knees. Well, I hope we can put some ice on it. But, listen, it's just, like I said, you do need a good QB. You do. Realistically, you need a good QB. But, when you're always giving into demands of your QB, no matter what he does, you just seem to back down because listen, they need that Patriots mindset. What's his face was never afraid to trade a fucking player. You could have an all-star season, win them 2 or 3 rings. He'll trade you at the drop of a hat if he feels like it betters the team. But some of the other teams, they might have to get on that kind of bully. Because you can't keep giving up stuff for a QB. You can't keep wavering, him threatening retirement every single time. Then you sign him to a ridiculous contract. And then you don't want to cut him because you know you have to eat that contract, and that'll be very big on your cap. So now you got to find a tree to trade for him, and you have to give in to that team's demands, because if you don't, well, then they just won't trade for him. And now you got a sour dude on your roster who's giving you all kinds of issues. The only thing you can do is cut him. I get it. But at the same time, this is why you should never put yourself in this situation. You got to get on that bully. I mean, you got to get on that Belichick. Belichick, if now there was no player that was better than Tom Brady. Let me not say player. Let me say there was no QB that was better than Tom Brady. But if there was a Pat Mahomes, and Belichick felt like he could win with Pat Mahomes, I'm pretty sure he would have pulled that trade. He would have. Just to better the team. Because like I said, Brady was getting older. Brady still won a lot of rings, man. He's, you know, my Giants took two off him. You know, we're going to speak on that another day. But the QB's running the market. I mean, not running the market, running front offices, I think that's going to start changing. But speaking on running the market, I am just happy to see that Lamar Jackson got his money. Now, I know a lot of people are saying he's injury prone. Well, when dude played, he played. The only reason why he didn't finish last season is because he saw that he wasn't getting his contract. And based upon the advice that he was getting from other people around the league, they said don't play. Because if he tears that ACL, he does not get that, $260 million contract with, what, 185 guaranteed. All right, Harden got to stop flopping. But there's no way he gets that if he tears his ACL. So I understand. But at the same time, it was smart. He kept that 2 to 6% that an agent would give him. Listen, that I think that's going to start affecting how a lot of players do contracts now. Because they're going to start to see, well, I understand it's QB, but if Lamar can get his $260 million, it might not be all guaranteed, but if he can get it, well, why can't I with that agent? I think this is going to change the dynamic severely. Players are going to start negotiating their own contracts now. It might be, I don't know if it's going to be for the better or for the worse of the league, but at least it shows that, yes, a deal can get done between a player's mom, because I think his mom was his agent, and the organization. And everybody knows that the Ravens are known for being cheap. Same thing, the Ravens and the Bengals are probably one of the most cheapest fucking franchises known to man, because they're smaller franchises. So I don't even know what this face is going to get, because, like I said, the Bengals are known for being cheap. Now, I think they're going to max him out for the most part, but I don't think it's going to be guaranteed money. And I think the owners are very adamant on not giving out fully guaranteed contracts in football, because it's football. I mean, it's a collision sport, not a contact, collision. So it's going to be a little difficult. But like I said, I think this is going to be a very big change. You're still going to have your agents. You know, listen, agents are not going nowhere. They're still going to be the major market agents that keep you upright, that keep you good, that keep your money right. But, I mean, to say that, you know, Lamar Jackson's case is a special case, just like how Deshaun's was, I do believe this is going to be a QB thing for a while. Not forever, but for a while. You're going to see QBs probably start to try to, you know, maneuver here, maneuver there, get a better contract here, get a better contract there. But like I said before, I'm just happy he got his money. I do think he is deserving. Now he has to go win a ring, though. Because if he doesn't win nothing after getting that 5-year contract extension, there's going to be some heads rolling. And I think then the owners are really going to be very laced up. Like, hey, if you don't do an agent, we're going to let you go. We are going to let you go. There's going to be no more chances taken, because they did it with Lamar and it worked out. But it has to lead to a ring, and it has to lead to winning for it to spread amongst the league to other players, other areas, other wide receivers, you know, other positions outside of the QB, because the QB is one of the most important things to football. But, that's all I got for the NFL right now. So, yeah. Like I said before, Lamar Jackson, congratulations on that big-ass contract. You do deserve it. I don't care what anybody says. You are a former MVP. You've only won... he might have won one playoff game. Actually, he might have lost that, now I think about it. But I think he's won one playoff game. But, hey, congratulations to him. Jets fans, if you guys don't win a ring this season, you guys sold out bad. And to my Giants, just keep moving mountains, keep making rivers, and keep building that championship culture, because we need that. I need to be able to walk up to Jets fans and talk my shit. 3 y'all, so I'm probably gonna end it off with these 3 last topics. This is more about gaming, so if, you know, look, I come from a gaming podcast, so this is my, you know, my main expertise. You know, I'm pretty good with sports, I'm pretty good with technology and all that other stuff, but look, Maxie's back in, that's good. Look, scalpers are now having issues selling their consoles that they all decide to mass buy. When I saw this going through Reddit, and going through, you know, gaming news, I was so fucking happy. I am so glad these motherfuckers are struggling to sell these pieces of shit. I'm never gonna motherfucking lie. They deserve all the shit that these motherfuckers were selling that shit at like $900,000 a fucking pop for some shit that was only $300 and some and some change because it was so hard to get back in 2020, 2021. Bruh. You can kiss my motherfucking ass if you think I'm gonna be sad about them losing money. This is what they fucking deserve. Like, I'm tired of scalpers. I'm tired of scalpers taking shoes. I'm tired of scalpers taking graphics cards. I'm tired of a lot of shit. And these motherfuckers is not getting their... They're getting their karma. I believe 100%. This is what they deserve. And people can say, oh, just people making money. How can you hate people making money? Oh, I can definitely hate motherfuckers making money because it's the way that you make it. If there's some shit that's selling for $350 after tax, and you supercharge that shit to almost $1,000 for each one, and now I have to struggle and fight with other people, and I have to wait for a PlayStation Plus invite to get a fucking console, that is fucking ridiculous. I should just be able to go into a store and buy a fun console. Maybe not that easy, because even a PS4 and PS3 were kind of hard to get when they first came out. But it was a lot easier than how it was after the fucking scalpers. It's fucking ridiculous. These dudes made it so hard. I had to follow 3 or 4 different Twitter accounts. Notifications activated at all times to try to get a console drop. I had to wait for Target. Trying to think who else. Walmart. Hell, motherfuckers was looking at Costco's and shit like that, trying to get a fucking PS5, because they were so hard to get. GameStop, with packages, which I did not get, because you got me fucked up. I didn't want any of those weak-ass games. No disrespect to those games, but nah, I wasn't feeling none of them. So, it was absolutely ridiculous, and now that these dudes are starting to cry that they're struggling trying to sell their product, because the only way they can sell it is at a loss compared to what they bought it at or when they got it, because now those same consoles are no longer worth they're no longer worth $1,000. Now they're worth their actual price, and then they're starting to realize that they can only sell at either at breaking even or paying for or selling it for less. And guess what? In business, you never want to break even. You should always be, you should always have a surplus, or you should always have a plus, be in the green. If you're not breaking at least even, you're losing, or not breaking even. If you at least don't have some kind of gain, nine times out of ten, you're losing. You're not gaining any money, and time is money, and with these scalpers, they're still trying to sell almost PS5s for $1,000. Have you lost your fucking mind? Nowadays, at least in this day and fucking age, I can walk outside, you know, go to maybe a Walmart, and I might be able to find a PS5 there. In 2020, 2021, that was not a possibility. You had to wait for that. I remember dudes was taking days off to make sure that the fucking mailman didn't steal their PS5. I mean, it was that ridiculous. That hard to get a PS5. You had people stealing them. You had FedEx drivers, USPS drivers stealing PS5s to scalp them and resell them for later, because that was the best way to get them, was off other people who actually bought it. I am just happy that these motherfuckers is getting what they are owed, because they are owed this. There's no reason as to why you're selling a console that's only $300 for $1,000 and some change. That is absolutely ridiculous. You deserve this, to all the scalpers. I don't wish death on nobody, but this is what y'all deserve. You deserve this. And people might say, oh, they're just making money. Bitch, there's a million ways to make money without having to scalp people and supercharge a console. Same thing with scammers. Those people from India or from all over, but not just from India. They could be in Britain, from all over the world, scamming people. I thought the same thing for them. They're gonna get what's coming to them one day. Some of them don't actually know that they're doing it. Some of them actually think they're working for legitimate companies. And to those people, I feel bad because they're being blindly led. But to the rest of them, fuck y'all. Like, straight up and down. Like, I'm not... Look. I had to relax. Because as you guys, see, it took me a very long time. I had to wait like a year for a PlayStation invite. And did that shit. This is... Now I work for a different company, but when I worked at Home Depot, I remember I had him send me to Garden. I asked him to send me to Garden because I got something coming that I would like to do. So what they would do is they send you to Garden because at least you'd be by yourself. I set my credit card up, flipped it on the side, and bought that shit at the register while I was ringing somebody up. That's what I had to do. Literally, I'm ringing them out, scanning their stuff, and as I'm walking back to the register, I'm typing in my credit card information trying to buy this PS5. Thankfully, I got it. But was it probably the most stupidest thing I've ever had to do? Because I was about to pay that $1,000. I know people who paid $1,000 for a console. I told them that's not going to be me. So I got the $350 at the tax because I bought two controllers. A black and a white one. And, hey, listen, I didn't pay that ridiculous price, so I could care fucking less. Truthfully, I could care less. If I don't have to pay nothing too expensive, I could care less. But all right. Now that we're done with the scalpers and them getting what they deserve and what I feel like they do deserve, now we can talk about something much, much more important in the grand scheme of things. So finally we have a union. We finally have a union in the video game industry. I've always wanted this. If you listen to my other podcast, the Cheddarcast, we have all, I think, advocated for gaming industries, gaming companies, gaming studios to become unionized, because the brutish things that go on from, you know, because it's a male dominated industry, you know, when women do enter that field, it is ridiculous on what they have to go through. You know, we saw it with Activision Blizzard, them doing ridiculous things with the woman. I do not like that. That's probably one of the biggest things. You know, crunch time, where you have people sleeping in their cubicles, in their offices, showering in the bathrooms because they're trying to meet deadlines. I am glad this has changed. I'm glad that they are now starting to increase their pay. Actually, you know what? Let me read off what I think they plan to do. Hold on, Evan. 1 second. Okay. So look. You got higher base pay for all. That's one. You have benefits for all employers. I think that should have been in there regardless. I think that should be in your contract that you should get benefits for anything that you do, because you are working for a multi-billion dollar industry at this damn point, which has taken over many and multiple other industries that started way before it. You have clear and concise guidelines for opportunities to grow in the company, which is another thing, because we've seen some people own certain spots for years in the industry that I think do not deserve to have, because they have obviously not made good decisions. And now that this union, I think it's Sega. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Sega. This union with Sega that they're starting to do, I'm glad it's happening. And the last thing, or no, sorry, not the last thing, balanced workloads. This is the reason I saw I did not go into the gaming industry and become a game developer, because the workloads are fucking ridiculous. I'd rather do audio, which has, you know, what does audio and music have workloads? Absolutely. It absolutely does. You know, there's going to be certain nights to where you're working 24/7. But God damn it, I could do that in a studio in Miami, work three or four days a night, and then go out and go have me a nice piece of fish or a nice piece of steak at a nice restaurant. Now, is that what I'm doing now? No, but that is the dream. But that's something I would be able to do. You'd be in there in that cubicle looking at one class of potentially a subclass of a game that you're working on, reading somebody else's code, which might confuse you because everybody's code is a little different, trying to figure out how to make this work, how to do this within what should take probably a month in a week, because you know how in this day that they're releasing unreleased games to patch them later, which I disagree with too, which is why I didn't want patches on console games. I really didn't want patches in general, but I understand the need for them. But patches are arguably as to why we now have live games, you know, games that are constantly running that really never get sequels. Overwatch 2 is not a fucking sequel. That was 1.5. That's like if you played NBA 2K20 and 2K21, there might be some graphical and gameplay differences, but there is not fucking much, and there hasn't been since like 17, 18, to where they, because after 16, I believe they changed the body types. They went from bigger body types to more skinny or more slim, but that's what happened in the NBA, so that makes sense. But listen, this has been long overdue. This is exactly what they needed. They needed some kind of union, because I think the studios and publishers are getting off ridiculously. They are putting people through some fucked up things, and in certain situations, the pay is not worth it. But you're trying to move up to the next part, so you take the bleak pay in hopes to get a bigger pay. And in certain situations, they don't, and they end up leaving. I always tell people, if I'm a game dev, I would, you know, have my game on the side. Let's say I'm working for God of War. I do God of War, right? And I have, you know, just like how Notch did it. Notch had, you know, Notch was working for other companies, but he also had Minecraft on the side that he was developing on his own. And then Minecraft blew up, and you know how what Minecraft is. Minecraft has led to Fortnite, has led to Warzone, Minecraft has led to a lot of games that a lot of people underrate. But yeah, look, this is ridiculous. I'm glad that the industry's starting to union, because they needed this. They needed it. I mean, we've heard situations of, you know, women being raped in the bathroom during, you know, it's you know, bullying, all the way down to racism. It's just getting so bleak and so bad that this was needed. They need this. And to be fair, I'd rather that them. I want to see what the contract is, because these are guidelines, but I never believe in guidelines. I need to see the whole contract layout. When I'm reading a contract, I want it to have exactly what was stated, exactly everything that was discussed. If it doesn't have it, then you leave it up to somebody else's opinion and judgment to deem what is and is not allowed in the union. Hell nah. Want that shit written in the contract. I mean, because this is the gaming industry has been bad. And speaking of bad things in the gaming industry, this might be, I might go on a tangent, I might not. I might just wrap this up in a nice little package. Because at one point I wasn't going to put this as a topic, but I feel like I have to. And this might lead to also what Phil Jackson said about, you know, sports not being so political. Because this isn't really political, but this has to do with more race thing. I am tired, sick and tired of having to make a albino black person in video games. I'm tired of it. The only game that I know that has good black character, I guess I want to say features, you know, being able to customize a black person, would be 2K. It may be Mad. Yeah, hell, even Mad, it might be arguable. I mean, do you know how many Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Skyrim? Actually, Skyrim's not that bad. Skyrim's rough, but you could make a pretty okay black-looking person. Fallout. There's just been so many games to where they've had such limiting abilities to make a black person. Like, half the time, I feel like I'm making a black person, or I'm making a white person in black skin. And, you know, one of the articles that I was reading, I don't like how they phrased it, but they were talking about, you know, black women in particular, because I've never made a black woman character, but I can tell you right now, if it's hard to make a black male character or a black man character, it must be difficult to make a black woman character too. The only ones I know that do is, like I said, 2K and maybe even Saints Row. Saints Row has some pretty great customization, and GTA. GTA, Saints Row, and 2K probably have the best black person customizable features to make a black person. But the rest of those games, no. They generally don't. And the article talks about black women and as to how, you know, The Witcher, I think they talked about in particular, they don't really have a lot of black characters. And, you know, The Witcher. Do I think it could potentially have more black characters? Absolutely. But I don't think it really needs it. Now, I've heard people make the excuse that, you know, there wasn't no, you know, it's based off of Poland, the fantasy world of Poland. That's not an excuse. There's been black people in Poland. Just like there's been black people in Russia. There's been black people in Denmark. There's been black people. Black people are fucking everywhere. So I don't want to hear no excuse that, oh, it's fantasy. Cool, it's fantasy. That means you can put black people in there too, motherfucker. I'm not hearing that bullshit. That's a weak ass excuse. And to people that use that as an excuse that it's just fantasy, well, if it's just fantasy, then that means you can have red, purple, blue, the whole fucking spectrum of colors in that motherfucker. And y'all still choose to often limit the ability to make a black person in a lot of fucking video games, and that has always been very egregious to me and upsetting. As to how, like I said before, a lot of the times I'm making a white person in black skin. Hell, really, I might be blackface on the low, like, because some of them do not look black. I try to put dreads on them to make them. That might be the main hairstyle of black people that I've seen: dreadlocks and braids. And even then, they're not really, like, you know, in that style. So it's just me making workarounds and shit like that. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I think there has to be better customization for that. That's the word I was looking for. Customization, not features. Customization for black people. Because it's just been bad. And speaking on that, you know, Phil Jackson and what he's talking about. I originally wasn't gonna bring this up, but the shit he's talking about is bullshit. Politics whether you're talking about Olympics to basketball, has always been a thing. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was not originally named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He changed his name, and everybody fucking knows that. And Phil Jackson played in during his time, during his era. So to hear him say, you know, basketball has become more political, it's always been political. Yeah, fucking, what's his face? Like I said, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar being part of that council that met up together, I think it was with Muhammad Ali, other great players I just cannot think of. And they, I think, Jim Brown was a part of that too, but I could be wrong. All those black players, and you're telling me sports have never been political? You're telling me because Black Lives Matter? Now, is the organization of Black Lives Matter, could you argue that that wasn't really political? That was more of a scam? Yes, you can, because people are still looking for that money, and a lot of people don't know where that money went. But the actual message of it is very much about, is more civil rights movement, is more about being civil. And to say that straight up and down, that sports had never been political, motherfuckers went, that got first place on the, let me look up his name, because I feel disrespectful for not knowing his name. I'm about to tell y'all right now. 1968, Tommy Smith and John Carlos. The fact that they were raising their fucking fists during the Olympics because of what was going on at the time shows that sports have always been politics. And if you have not realized that, if you have not figured that shit out, then you're just acting blind and not, and choosing to ignore what is going on. Now, I will not call Phil Jackson racist. I do not think that he is racist, because I don't think he deems that white people are better than black people, because that is a main thing. That means you think of a person is weaker than you based upon their skin or their ethnicity. I don't think he's racist. I just think he's ignorant. Being ignorant is not being racist. That's one of the most confused things that I've ever seen. You can be ignorant and not be racist. Just like, because someone who is ignorant just does not know better and has not experienced or understands what black people have been through. There are more ignorant people than there are racist people. Because a lot of times people who are racist raise children to be ignorant of other races. So it makes their kids ignorant if they don't see no other black person, or if they don't see no other Latino person, Latina, whatever you are. You know, that's really what it is. A lot of people that come from, you know, households that have certain views of other, you know, other ethnicities, that's the word, other ethnicities, are often just ignorant. Because a lot of us come from households that are raised that way. But if you ask them, they are not raised that way, and they probably have different beliefs. But, like I said, because of how they're raised is what leads them to that. And then as they get older, sometimes they lose it, and sometimes it gets worse. But that's something that comes with time. But I think we're going to wrap it up right there, y'all. I did not mean to go on a tangent, but I just feel like people have been calling Phil Jackson racist. I don't think he's racist, but he's definitely ignorant and doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. For someone of his age and status and who has done so much with other black men like Jordan, Kobe, Shaq, Kobe again with his squad, who has done so much with black men. Hell, he was on the Knicks when they won their two wings with Willis Reed. And oh my God, Knicks legend, Clyde, just so many people that he's done black, there's just been so many black great men that he's been, that he's played with and colluded with and so many other things. And I'm not gonna lie, when he called LeBron's crew a posse, that kind of threw a lot of people the wrong way, and I can understand that. But a posse sometimes it can be in a negative tone. But when I read it, I was like, he means it more of a business way. But I can definitely see as that people see him as racist off that. But a posse can also mean business too. I've never heard a white group be called a posse, but they sometimes are called a posse. But this has been your boy Huey. I'm going to wrap it up right here. I hope you guys enjoyed episode 2. I'm bringing a lot more energy because last time it was recorded really late. And I was a little bit more tired. But now I'm wide awake. I got the rebel. And hopefully we can get this podcast off the ground. Like I said, rebel sponsor me.